Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, we're going to be talking about the eternal question, or at least an eternal question that I get eternally in my email inbox. Can you help me? My sex life is terrible. And then people sometimes bring it out. They zoom it out. Does therapy even help sex lives? So this podcast is intended to respond to that frequent question. And for everybody that asks me something, it's like cockroaches for everyone you see. There's 100 in the walls. So I'm sure there are many, many more people who want to know this and thankfully do not, reach out because I can only answer so many questions. But speaking of which, if you do want my engagement, then you can certainly join the Facebook group because I engage on all the threads there and everybody cannot work with me directly. Although, of course, some of you can, so reach out if you ever want to. But since everybody cannot work with me directly, then I can jump on some threads there and give a little bit of advice in the Facebook group. That's the blue subscribe button on the Dr. Psych Mom Facebook page. And also subscribe to the podcast that's separate from the Facebook group. Most recent subscriber episode was, remember, there's a little honeymoon stage every month. Okay, so getting down to brass tacks here. So I work with a lot of people on their sex lives, right? And so some people get helped. I'd like to, say many people get helped. In fact, over the years, I mean, I've worked with like hundreds of people by now. But not everybody. So let's talk about who can benefit from couples counseling regarding sex and who cannot. Well, first of all, you can't like literally hate each other and want to divorce and somehow want to work on the sex life at that point. That's not going to work. So let me just not blow smoke up your ass. You know, as much as I would like you to come in and pay me money and we bullshit around, I actually wouldn't like that. That's like actually unethical. And it also makes me really uncomfortable. And so I tell people outright, like, this is like not, you know, working when it's not working. Here's when I say that. If you guys are on the precipice of divorce, you are not going to be able to work on your sex life. You are not really going to be able to work on much besides getting back from the precipice of divorce. So women do, in fact, need to feel safe emotionally before having sex. If you are literally saying, I have gone to a divorce attorney, and if we cannot get this out of a sexless marriage, I'm going to file, then while you may think that you are setting a very valid and healthy boundary, and in fact, who knows, maybe you are, she's not going to have sex with you. If she does have sex with you, by the way, it's going to be hysterical bonding, and it's not going to be because of anything that I or any couples counselor did. It's because she is terrified, and within 2 to 3 weeks, it is going to stop. So if you have threatened your wife that you are going to leave with if there is not a change in the sex life and that you are literally about to leave, I'm not talking about saying stuff like, I don't think that I can last in a marriage like this forever. All right, this is the kind of thing that people say when they're unhappy. I'm talking about if there is a line in the sand or you have moved out or something, because I've seen that too, and basically you are waiting for like her to like spread her legs, she's not going to. And there's nothing I can say, and I wouldn't encourage her to, because you're basically out of the marriage. And I've also seen situations like that where you're basically out of the marriage and she tries to have sex with you a couple times, but you got a taste of freedom and you're not going back for shit. So in a situation where you are basically out the door, you cannot start sex therapy. I mean, that needs to be done within there needs to be a safety and a closeness and trust going on. So on the other hand, you know, you're going to be like, well, it's not happy people that come in. Yeah, no shit. It's not happy people that come in. But there's happy and there's unhappy and then there's really unhappy. So why don't you like try to just be unhappy? like wait until you, like if you're coming in because you are literally have both consulted attorneys, you're not going to, I'm not going to be able to do good work. Nobody's going to be able to do good sex therapy with you because there's not a basic level of trust. Now, who should come in? If you have young kids, you should definitely come in. Everybody's motivated when they have young kids. Like they're young, they're little. You don't want their little faces to be upset. You tell them that you're, you know, daddy's moving out. You don't want that stuff, right? So what you do want is to work on the relationship, and so does your wife. Here's when not to come in though, because there's a caveat, when she literally just had a baby. If she just had a baby within 6 months, unless it's like your third baby and like these sex troubles predated everything, honestly, even in that situation, you are going to have to wait. Her hormones have not even normalized. She is still nursing overnight. She has a sex drive of a 90-year-old woman because her body really doesn't want her to get pregnant again. So I would go so far as to say that you should wait until the baby's at least a year old. Some people can't do that because they already been waiting since the first baby, who's now 6 years old, was, a fetus. So sometimes it feels more urgent than other times. But especially if it's a first baby, if it is a first baby, do not come in when that baby is not sleeping through the night. Or like one, maybe 9 months. Do not come in with a new baby, though. Come on. I mean, you got to give the woman time to recuperate, to get back on her feet overall as a human being. So young kids is good. A baby, not good. If it is a baby, if it's a first baby, really not good, because she's also trying to figure out how to be a mother. She probably has postpartum, all of these things. Now, is that to say you should not come in for couples therapy when she's postpartum? Of course you could. That's the best way to get her through the door. If you think that she has postpartum and she's not acknowledging it, you say, I want to go to couples counseling and work on our marriage. That's awesome, because then the therapist can tell her, hey, guess what? You have postpartum depression. Great. Awesome. Do not bring her in, though, for something specifically focused on sex, because that's beyond insensitive, because she has literally a baby. So don't do it. Okay. What if your kids are older? Fine. So forget about the small kids. If you love each other, if at least one of you could say that you love the other one, fine. If good, get into couples counseling and we could start focusing on sex, hopefully relatively soon. If both of you love each other, then we could start focusing on sex almost immediately. If neither of you really know if you love each other, then obviously, even though the man or the higher libido partner may think that that lack of love does have to do with a lack of sex, if there is no love, nobody can tell somebody to try to experiment getting in the mood and responsive desire and touching and sensit focus, which is focusing on the sensation of just massage or what have you, with somebody who doesn't love them. So like, basically, I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes people have already given their wife an ultimatum and then want to work on the sex life. That just does not work. The more vulnerable you make her feel, the worse that the sex life is going to go. And nobody's really going to want to put her into harm's way like that. That's the truth, you know, because sex is very vulnerable. If she's a low libido person, she's super uncomfortable by sex anyway. So like, the idea that she's somehow doing it to like get your love and you won't love her if she doesn't do it, while I totally understand that I'm the first person to say that love is expressed through sex, and maybe you don't really feel, of course, like you love her as much as you could if you were having sex, but if that has been stated that you don't love her anymore and it's because of sex, then it's just like not, you can't really put somebody in that position. That's just not really an emotionally healthy position for her to be in, is to try to like fuck her way into your loving, you know, graces. It's just not good. So then on the other hand, when does it work? When the two people love each other and they are committed to working on this no matter what. That's like the ideal client, is like people that like love each other and respect each other, and they understand that sex has been a problem, but they are focused on keeping the couple and the family together. Kids can be a huge motivator. And honestly, the more open-minded the people are, the better it is, you know? I mean, because there are, you're going to be like, low libido woman, how's she going to be open-minded? There are, especially intellectually. If a woman thinks that, okay, you know what, I seem to have some trouble around sex and things gross me out, and I know that that can't be right, you know, and I don't want to live like this forever, well, then that is like the ideal sex therapy candidate, right? Is somebody who honestly understands that it's an issue. And yeah, sure, there's other issues in the relationship, and we're going to address those too, but understands that she, I just say she, it could be he if it's a low libido man, brings to the table some issues with past sexual trauma, or with being raised sex negative, or with never really understanding their own body or what turns them on. If they are like aware that there's a problem and open-minded enough to say, yeah, you know what, this problem makes the marriage harder and I want to work on it, that's ideal, right? So given all of this, like, how successful can sex therapy be? compared to regular couples counseling? Well, I'll tell you, it's not really a fair comparison because more people go into regular couples counseling than any sort of sex therapy or couples counseling focused on sex. So many of the couples that I get, it's the first time that they've talked about sex, but they've done a lot of couples counseling. I just read interesting statistics that said something like a large majority, it was like 80 or 90% of people that have been through couples counseling found it to be useful. And that really does dovetail with a lot of my experience. Of course, keep in mind, there's cognitive dissonance reduction. You're going to go to something for week after week, pay a lot of money for it. You're going to damn well fucking get something out of it. You know, I mean, most people are. It's like how most people will never have a bad vacation because they took the time and the effort to go on the damn vacation. It would be pretty depressing if they didn't enjoy it. So they're going to make themselves enjoy it. And that's how most people are with couples counseling. Now, with sex therapy, many, many fewer people do it. I talk to so many people. We are the first to talk about their sex lives. And they've been in couples counseling for sometimes like a decade or something, you know, and they've never talked about it before. But within the people that do well at regular counseling, this is no surprise, they tend to do better at sex therapy because they're already good at giving and receiving feedback. And now sex therapy, by the way, to like, there's people who are like specifically certified in, you know, sex therapy. What I'm talking about is therapy where we are focused on discussing sexual issues, like the sexual attitudes of both people, like what do we like and we don't like, what are our turn-ons, what are dynamics that interest us and excite us, what are the technical things that we are both doing in bed that either of us likes or doesn't like, what are some other things we could try, what's some basic psychoeducation about desire, responsive desire, the effects of the menstrual cycle, all of these different things. So what sex therapy is not is somebody standing in a room with you, or I guess on a Zoom call, you may be picturing like instructing you how to move your bodies and have sex. That is not, that is probably something on OnlyFans, but it is nothing to do with like the reality of what it is to be working with a couple on their sex life as a clinician. You know, I mean, I think there's sexual surrogates somewhere in like California that like can do that, but that's nothing like it. So what I'm talking about myself is working on talking about the sex life with a couple, which for many couples is the first time that they've ever really even done it. And that's why the more open-minded the person is, the more responsive they are to any sort of coaching or feedback in any sort of domain, the better this goes. So I would say also, you know, I have a high success rate, but then that's people who are choosing to come in. So it's self-selected. If I just randomly accosted some sexless couple on the street, you know, my success rate would probably plummet pretty quick because the people that will come in the first place, especially to somebody like me who talks about sex on the internet, they're already more open-minded than the average person, you know? So I don't like to bullshit. So yeah, sure. Like I help a lot of people. Also, those people are the people who came in the first place. So this certainly is not any sort of randomized double-blind study. Don't know how you could do a double-blind study. People know when they're talking about their sex life. I don't know how you would even do that. But the point is, if you can get over the hump, no pun intended, of going in for sex therapy, you probably already are more open-minded and more able to make changes than the average couple, right? Given that, the more motivation that you have in terms of like external motivators, such as staying together for the children, because you love each other, because you share similar values, because you still respect each other, because you don't want to break up the family. These are all very, very helpful reasons. We all need external reasons, right? Everything can't just be, you know, your feelings at that given moment. So the more of those you have, you know, then obviously the better it's going to go. Also, another thing is that if you ever, ever, ever had a good sex life, it's much easier to get back there. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. I understand, though, that many people who come in have never had a good sex life. And that's okay as long as, now remember, this is going to be a very big caveat. I cannot, and nobody can, make you be attracted to somebody. So if you were never attracted to your partner, then, you know, it's kind of a save your time and money situation here. Nobody can make you be attracted to your partner, right? I mean, I don't do hypnosis. I don't know who does, but I don't think anybody can hypnotize you into it either. thank God there's not a lot of people in that situation. Most people did initially feel some spark or chemistry with their partner. And then we're not trying to get back into the honeymoon stage, obviously, but at least there's something to go on where they're not disgusted by this person. If you are disgusted by your partner, and this is cross-gender, by the way, this is not just women that are disgusted by men. There are some men that are disgusted by their female partner as well. And there are even men that settled even at the beginning and were not very attracted. Not as many. For men, you know, attraction is kind of a prerequisite to getting married. But there are some men that really, you know, kind of never felt it. And that was like the elephant in the room of the relationship. It's going to be a good woman, a good mother. Everything will be fine. I really respect her. But they just never were like fully into her. And that is something that's, you know, you really cannot create in therapy. You know, you just can't. And so that is kind of, that's more of an individual. If that's you, go to individual therapy and think about why it happened, what you want to do, et cetera, et cetera. People can have good marriages, but the idea of kind of almost forcing yourself, and I don't, good marriage. People can have tolerable marriages, you know, even in the absence of any sort of attraction, if they want, you know, if that's, if they're both kind of low sex drive people. But kind of like, if you're in sex therapy and your elephant in the room is that you have no attraction to your partner, then it's kind of like, not, don't do that, you know, because it's never going to work. So just say like, you know, basically, I'm not comfortable with working on that right now. And then go to individual therapy and figure out if you really want to stay with this person or you want to cut them free or what. But that is something like, you know, sometimes people think psychologists like magic or something. No, we're not magic. If you find, if your skin crawls at the idea of being with your partner and it always did, or if there was like some tremendous change in them, you know, like they gained like 100 pounds or something, you could talk about that in couples counseling, but you're not going to start actively working on the sex life if you like are really like grossed out by your partner. And this happens to both men and women, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's how you feel. But it, you can't really go back against that in a best case scenario. And, but then many people will be like, yeah, but like, I don't feel about them like I used to. Yeah, no shit. That's just, you're not in the honeymoon stage anymore. But if you can still think how someone else might want to have sex with them, or you can still think that objectively they're attractive, then we're headed in the right direction. So yeah, of course, you don't feel the same level of attraction. Sure, that's just not being in the honeymoon stage anymore. But there are people listening that know what I mean. And because sometimes I see them, you know, maybe they're like, I don't know, 5% of the people that come in or something that were never attracted to their spouse. And they'll tell me like in an individual session, you know, and those people, you know, the marriages don't tend to work out, because by the time they've come into therapy, that means they're ready to kind of acknowledge the elephant in the room. And then by that time, it's already kind of too late. So anyway, hopefully that's not you, though, because that's not most people. And if you are people who are kind of motivated and open-minded and you have something to work toward and you have external motivators, I mean, then you would be good candidates, you know, and by the time you're people who come in, then you're already people who want to work on it. And that is that's the sample of people who come in. So listen to this podcast with your spouse. I'll tell you, if you and your spouse could listen to this podcast and be like, well, I don't know, I guess we are the kind of people who could work on our sex lives, then it's like almost assured that you could make some kind of progress because you're already in that zone mentally. All right. Hope you guys found this interesting. As always, thank you for listening, and I will talk to y'all soon. Have a great day, guys. Oh, and I wanted to say that if there are people who are happily together but do not need any sort of full relationship coaching or real therapy or any therapy or anything, but want some intimacy coaching specifically just on sex and what to do in bed and how to keep things fresh and education about bodies and that kind of thing, I do have Heather Ray, the sexologist and intimacy coach at Best Life, who can work with you specifically and often adjunctively. Sometimes no, sometimes people just see her, but sometimes they see her alongside other therapy or what have you. And she can work with you on all those sexual issues. So again, reach out. Always reach out to info@bestlifebehavioralhealth.com. Bye-bye.